I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who lived to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was bringing up the fact that as fans, you know, it's hard to disconnect the salary to the player. Now, Volpe's a different scenario because he's a young kid not making a lot of money, so it doesn't apply there. But in a lot of cases, it does. I would certainly make the case that someone like Giancarlo Stanton, when he has had his struggles in the race, and he's been a fabulous postseason player for the Yankees, will never take that away from him, and he's been a good Yankee, but he has had his struggles in the regular season. And I think a lot of fans, they get annoyed when a guy's making $25, $30, $35 million a year and they don't perform as such. I think a lot of Met fans were patient with Juan Soto in the early going, but there were some that, you know, right out the gate, hey, you want $765 million, damn it, hit the baseball. And it brings me to the NBA from this standpoint. And they won a championship, so all power to them. But these contracts and these salaries are getting to, I thought we were at ridiculous levels already. When you see a guy get you played professional sports.
Yeah.
You see 4 years, 285 for Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Right. And I know they just won a championship, MVP, all of that. I understand that. I can tell you what, as a...
Guaranteed, by the way.
Guaranteed. What a sports fan thinks. As the former pro athlete, you think what?
In reference to
now the money that's being made,
yep.
the growing, it's not even a gap anymore. I mean, it is a crater between the pro player and the fans in terms of wealth.
Yeah.
And then the expectation that comes along with it.
Well, listen, I think for the fan, there's this sense of, they look at the ball player as a sense of, from escape, right? I think they look at the contract, the team they cheer for, and the expectation all wrapped up in one, and they throw the contract out there because, listen, most people day-to-day, right now, living check to check, right? And so they look at you as an escape. Be the walk-in fantasy that I hope I could live. I hope one day I could play this sport that I love and also make a gazillion dollars doing it. Since you get to do it, I need you to be the best at it. There are no days off because of the contract
for sure
you are currently earning. And two, because I'm paying to come see you. So I'm not only giving my money to see you, but I'm also jealous of the money you're making, mm-hmm. and I don't want to hear you gripe about it. You're my escape. And so when you aren't the escape and you don't meet my expectation, whatever that is, I'm going to call, I'm going to shout, I'm going to scream into the ether. Hopefully the arrow that I shoot lands right in the middle of your back to wake you up so you can be the escape I need you to be. And so that's the life of a ball player. And the humanistic side gets avoided because of the contract, right? I don't care that you're having issues at home. I don't care if you're dealing with, you know, maybe some issues from a substance abuse issue. You know, I don't care that you're an older ball player and now you're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And that's scary. That's giving your own self anxiety. How many guys walk off the field and realize, like, man, this is a wrap?
Yep.
You know, now I'm going from God to citizen, which is hard for a lot of ball players to deal with. I've been off the field for a long time, and I still, like, man, you know, that phone, I used to be able to call anybody, like, hey, Willie wants to do it. Well, Willie got it. Now I'm like, well, I'll get back to you in a month. You know what I mean? It's yes. Like, so that's the reality we deal with, and it's tough. And for a young guy like Volpe or a young guy like SGA, you know, they're living in a window where they're considered gods. And so they're being perceived at it. And that's the pedestal we put our athletes on. It is what it is.
And I do think part of that, and this is where, you know, I know it has to be out there because we're living in a salary cap world, but there's the part of you that, me anyhow, as the sportsman, I don't want to know what they make. Like, I know it's absurd amounts of money. I don't want to know. I don't want to have that reaction of, God, for $80 million a year, and that's where we're going here.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, he's 72, I think. For $72 million a year, you can't miss that free throw.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but we forget, like, you still got to actually make the free throw. It's not robotics. It's not a video game. It is still very real, but as fans, we feel like you're not allowed to fail if you're going to take all that money. Well, and that's not the world we live in, and I know that.
And it's even tougher, and it goes back to where we were talking about Volpe's dad and the stands ready to beat up a Mets fan. You know, I think for the parents watching their kids out there or watching their respective son or daughter that's a pro athlete, you know, they're still their baby girl. That's mm-hmm. still their baby boy out there. Yep. And so it's a different level of, you know, heightened anxiety and fear that, like, man, if my son doesn't get it done in this spot, you know, all of Yankee Stadium may be running after him.
Oh,
you know
and what I mean? Booing, sure.
They boo the hell. Like I said this to you when we started the show. Week one, Steelers Jets. Mm-hmm. Aaron Rodgers is coming back to MetLife.
Yeah.
There won't be another athlete booed harder than that man will be booed in all of professional sports and all of football.
Let me ask you this one, because
I
don't remember when Brett Favre went to Lambeau as a Viking.
Okay,
that had to have been brutal. I know he's back now and they love him again, but that had to have been loud. No,
I don't know. I couldn't tell you. But I know who's going to get booed.
Oh, he's going to get booed.
Aaron Rodgers is going to get the helmet, like the paint booed off his helmet.
You know what the weird thing about that is, though? And I understand it didn't go well here for sure. And maybe we hear from Jet fans. The first year, that first offseason of Rodgers could not have been more perfect in terms of the way he was embraced. He was at Madison Square Garden. He was on the talk shows.
He had Cipriani's. He was everywhere.
And it was tremendous. And it was like they got themselves a Hall of Fame quarterback, and it was going to be different than Favre, and this was going to be unbelievable.
He was the savior.
He did remember the preseason game? He was the Hall of Fame game. He didn't play, mm-hmm. but he was there. He was coaching up Zach Wilson, and mm-hmm. he looked like a coach on the sidelines.
Not even that, Jerry. Remember when Hard Knocks came and when Hard Knocks was covering the Jets? And they were throwing, he was throwing balls around the field, and they were throwing it in slow motion.
Yes.
And it was just like, it was like football.
It was godlike.
It was like, oh my God.
Yes.
Mind you, we've been watching Aaron Rodgers for years.
He's having catches with Salah's son.
No question. And we was just like, oh my God. Like, finally, it was just like an awakening was happening, a movement, you know, a turning of the tides. And
then what happens?
He tore his.
And then he tears the ace, the Achilles ruptures.
Yeah. And Monday night against the Bills.
And this is a serious question, had he not gone on McAfee, had he not had that whole nonsense, not his fault, but still the whole RFK thing and running for president and vice nonsense that was out there because mm-hmm. he is who he is, had he stayed quiet and just rehabbed and just been Aaron Rodgers, the football player, even with the way the season went last year, I don't think he would come back and get booed. I think it's because there was so much crap surrounding him while he wasn't playing that the Jet fan they turned. And then when he does come back, because he wasn't healthy when he came back and started.
No, he wasn't. No.
The Jet fan had enough.
Well, I think that he was the poster boy for the I had enough with the Jets. Like
absolutely.
And so I think, which is interesting because we only had him for 2 years. We forget the Zach Wilson era. We forget the Sam Darnold era. We forget everything that came along behind him. But because of who he is and what he brought to the table and in their fashion, how he was delivered to the Jets, a lot of Jets fans are like, we're finally out of the grave.
I know.
And now,
I picked them to win the Super Bowl. I thought that, and we'll never know because of the stupid injury. We'll never know. But I really thought they were primed to make a Super Bowl run.
But this goes to what we talked about a little while ago behind the curtain. This is why the first four games of this season for the New York Jets are so important. Mm. Because of what this team been through and has gone through, they got to win early.
It'd be nice to see one of these two teams, if not both of them, get out to decent starts.
The Jets, more importantly. I think the Giants are going to be fine. I think whatever. We'll see.
Tough schedule on paper.
But I think the Jets have to somehow set sails in the right direction. They can't go 2-2. Like, they got to come out hot.
Sure.
Just to get that stank off them. And hopefully they're able to do so.
Yeah, very interesting, that whole Aaron Rodgers dynamic. And I'll give you one more before you take the call.
Yeah,
I'll tell you another
one.
I talk about staying quiet. All right, well, we're talking about Aaron Boone, you know, shielding his players. I mentioned the RFK thing. I mentioned the McAfee stuff. How about something as simple as the whole Mike Williams thing?
Oh, yeah.
If you don't...
Well, that was different.
And I'm not saying he wasn't wrong on what he's saying, but if...
Well, no, he was wrong because what he said in the press conference goes, when asked about it on McAfee... Mm-hmm. About his remarks about Mike Williams and kind of selling him out, if you will. Aaron was like, "Well, you know, I don't lie." And everybody's like, "Dude, you lied about taking a."
he didn't lie. He misled. He did not lie. He never lied. He misled.
What does that mean?
It can mean what you want it to mean, but it was not a direct lie.
Okay.
He never, because, not to go down this road again.
I don't want to go down the road.
I had battles.
But my point is.
I had battles with Sal about this for a month.
Right. And I don't want to. But my point is, misled, lied, whatever. My point is, don't say you. Every ball player's lied on the mic.
Oh, absolutely. So but as I'm saying.
Doesn't like, make him a villain, but don't say like you've kept it 100 your whole career.
Not a villain, but he could have, after that game, just said, yeah, you know, we weren't on the same page. Next question. Instead, it's, well, he's supposed to be here, and I threw
it down the red line.
It was just another thing that created noise around him. It just seemed like there was always something. It was never just the game.
It was also tough because they had rehabbed Mike Williams onto the field.
Right.
He didn't land on the Jets healthy. He came from San Diego. He was already dealing with a number of injuries. He was getting acclimated into the system. Here he is trying to find his way onto the field. And if there's one person that needs your back as a receiver, is your quarterback.
Yeah.
And so it felt like, to your point, it felt like, dang, dog, this ain't the time for you to abort the mission. Because it felt like he was putting his hands up at this, like, I don't know what you want me to do. I've torn my Achilles. You know, this thing is not going to plan. I've emptied my Rolodex of who I felt like I could bring over to help us. Nothing's working. So it felt like at that moment he was putting his hands up.
It did sound like that. And it did feel like it.
So at that point, Jesper was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You can't leave. You can't leave now. This is not when you end the movie, Jack. We're gonna ride this thing out. And then Aaron Rodgers, and his face and his expressions felt like, I'm done with this whole thing.
Now, that said, he said the right things at the end.
He did.
This was more a Woody Johnson, get him the hell out of here.
Correct. Move.
But even still, here is Joe and Boca Raton. What's up, Joe?
Hey, I just want to respond to a couple of things you guys said about athletes getting paid all this money.
Yeah.
People can't relate to it, but guess what? If they're that good, I mean, I don't make $300,000 a year. I'm not good at the sport. I work for a living. They work out. I think the problem that I see, I'm down in Boca. I want to see the Marlins. I know the product I'm getting, $30 parking a ticket and all. Went to the Palm Beach Cardinals, affordable, great time. I go to Yankee Stadium, Fenway Park. It's costing me a boatload of money. You have three stars sitting out that day. And I know stars get hurt. Believe me, I can't believe it. They're athletes. They're in great shape. They get hurt. Sometimes you need a break. What I can't relate to is I don't understand. I need a day off. I need a day off.
Well, I happen to agree with you. When you're getting paid the money they're getting paid, and it's really not an issue in the NBA anymore like it used to be. I really do think they've done a much better job with that. But the minutes restrictions that, you know, so many fans get crazy about, to me, they're making a fortune. Yeah, they should go out there and play. I have no issue. When you've got a coach like a Tom Thibodeau that likes to play seven guys, you're making a lot of money. And there's a lot of guys that make a lot of money that don't play much.
Correct.
I mean, it's a weird league in that sense, too. You got guys that might average 4 minutes a game. They make $5 million a year. Like, damn. Like, okay, I mean, good for you, I suppose. Here's Ray. Boy, a lot of calls from out of town. Ray in Daytona Beach. What's up, Ray?
Yeah, hey, guys. I don't understand this argument about people getting PO'd about salaries when, first of all, they're a small group of people that reach that. They spend their whole lives trying to get to that point. You're talking about maybe 1% of the NBA or professional players making that kind of money. Most of them don't make that money.
They all make a lot of money. They all make a lot of money.
The base salary for a ball player, I think, is like $400,000.
$700,000.
Okay, but how many make it? Most of them are in the minors. They wash out.
What does that have to do with anything? I'm not sure. I'm not getting your point.
My point is entertainers, singers, actors, CEOs of companies, nobody complains about
them. No, people complain about CEOs of companies making way too much money all the time. Now, your point about actors, your point about actors and singers, the thing I would say differently about that compared to the athlete is there's no fandom attached to it. There's no emotion attached to it like there is. Like, you feel like when you go, if you're a diehard Yankee fan, and I mean, I've heard you say numerous times this morning,
we, yes.
Have you ever gone to see, I don't know, AC/DC and said, we're going to have a great show tonight?
Never.
I'm serious. Like, when you go see a band or you go see a movie, you ever take your wife to a movie and be like, man, we're going to kill it tonight on the big screen?
No.
But when you're watching the game, you feel like you are a part of that team. Oh, for 100%. The rooting interest. And it is. It's different.
It is. I mean, especially when you, like, a lot of these people who are fans of these teams, they born and raised here. They've seen the economic change and turnover of a city year after year. I mean, if you're a Yankee, if you're a Mets fan from the 80s when the Mets was at the pinnacle of rock stardom, if you will, to where they are now, like, you've seen some things.
No doubt.
Seen this city turn over. You've been through a lot. And so, yeah, you go to bed with this team and you wake up with this team because that's all you know and that's all you choose to cheer for. But at the end of the day, you still have emotional vested interest on how your team moves along. So it's hard.
And keep in mind, the point I'm trying to make is the more money they make, I feel like the more fans feel like they can say whatever the hell they want 100%. To say. That's not the. If a movie bombs, guess what happens to that actor? He ain't getting the same amount of money in the next movie.
No.
I mean, it's just, you know, but these guys, if you're making $50 million a year and you are in it,
but like
I
you
mean,
said,
in it,
we got,
fans are going to let you hear it.
Mets fans got Soto for 15 years.
Oh, I know.
That's, in their eyes, you belong to us.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, we're invested in everything you do
and
on
way,
and off the field.
You better perform because that is a monster contract. 15. They talk about contract setting franchises back a decade. If a 15-year, nearly $1 billion contract doesn't go well, that sets you back 20 years.
No question. But not even that. Talking about overall fandom, like, people are still selling Bobby Bonilla dick.
I know. I'm tired of that, too, but yes.
Like,
you know what I mean? He's got like 7-8 years left on that?
I think to 2035.
Oh, I thought it was 32. Is it 35?
I think it's 35.
So we get 10 more years, the guy gets paid. God bless him. Smart man right there.
Brilliant.
Smart man. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get CeeLo in here. Next, it is Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the morning show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Geo.
All right, great to have you with us on a Monday morning. Boomer and Geo are out until next Monday. Coming to you live in the Built Ford Tough Studio. So myself and Willie Colon will take you till 10 o'clock. We will get back to the calls. I'll take one quick one as CeeLo is getting
CeeLo
all set up just because I like what Al put in for the topic. Brian in Shrewsbury, what's up, Brian?
You guys got to shut
you
the heck
guys
up.
Gotta
and,
shut up.
Instead of being whiny bitches
whiny
about
bitches.
This is the capitalist system, you guys. What the hell do you want? You want a salary
jacket.
Cap? Get a salary cap.
Ooh,
you're
salary
so
cap.
Whiny.
Whiny beer.
Get a big crunch. Suck it up, you
How
guys.
How about this,
shut
Brian? How about you take the wax out of your ears and understand what we're saying? We're actually siding with the players in this situation, and you're calling us whiny biatches. I'm not really sure the point of your call other than you're a jackass. The point is, the more they make, the more criticism they get.
Correct.
So I'm not sure where he was going with that, other than if you're going to make the money, you better perform or the fans are going to clobber you. Seems pretty simple to me.
I understood what you were trying to say.
I thought so.
Never heard you do that voice, though.
Me neither.
I don't think I've
ever done that voice. But that was weird. Because the whole point is if you're gonna make this type of money, the fan behavior is gonna get worse and worse because they get on you if you don't produce for making $30, $40, $50 million a year. I also do think,
but it goes back to what we were saying. I say the current state of sports, the people see the contract before the man.
Right.
That's where
they
that's
see
how,
money. They see don't the, see the player.
Right. They don't care about what you've been through, what you got going on, and how you acquired whatever. They know you make it an insane amount of money.
Yep.
And they want to see you be the superstar.
Like, you're not allowed to fail.
No.
That having been said, I wouldn't mind a better system where you actually get paid to when you do well. Meaning, like, I always argue with Boomer, you know, Boomer's like, well, you're getting paid for what you're going to do. I'm like, no, you get paid for what you just did. The new team is hoping that you continue to do that.
Potential.
And in some cases, that doesn't happen. Your best days might be behind you and you get the big contract. And then you falter. To me, I have no problem paying a guy a fortune if he's productive. I think it's great. That's exactly what it should be. But you have some of these guaranteed contracts. I mean, hell, was it Eddie Curry with the Knicks back in the day, right? Wasn't that?
That was brutal.
And that's a rare. I'm not saying there's a lot. But those contracts happen.
Exist all the time.
Where the guys sign these deals and do nothing. And it's guaranteed. I mean, good for them, but you're going to hear it from the fans.
Yeah, and when you don't perform well, the first thing out their mouth is, you make $80 million. Yes. You should be doing it.
So. And that was the point.
Yeah, so, I got you.
Brian, sorry you misunderstood.
I'm Natalie Morales of 48 Hours. So much of our reporting focuses on the stories of victims who didn't survive. But what about those who live to tell?
I survived a violent home invasion. There's no earthly reason why I'm alive.
From 48 Hours, this is It Could Have Been Me.
It makes you grateful for everything you have, you know.
You can follow and listen to It Could Have Been Me on Tuesdays in the 48 Hours podcast feed on the free Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.